The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, surviving a season of affliction.
I just want to go, oh, I love you. I mean, I want to tell somebody in line, if they're behind me and we get to talking over our groceries and we're checking out, I am so Southern. When I walk away, I'm practically going, bless you, I love you. You know what I'm saying? That's its own affliction. But it certainly is her affliction.
Overcoming Affliction, next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to welcome you to what we call Wednesdays with Beth Moore. I want to remind you that blessed mornings and restful nights, devotions to begin and end your day in God's presence. These are some of the, I think, probably most high impact teachings, and we obviously refer to them as devotions, that you're going to find leading you into a meditation in the Word of God, morning and evening. And it will be blessed mornings and restful nights. So we're offering that to those of you who will help us simply give, literally, a cup of clean water to those who do not have it. How sad that is. Beth Moore is teaching on affliction. I want you to listen to her. We all face afflictions. What do we learn? Let me get some answers. Here's Beth. I think she'll help.
Genesis 16:11, and the context is Hagar being mistreated by Sarah. Now, listen, is that any wonder? But that is another story and another lesson entirely. But like Sarah gets Hagar all into the situation, has her with her own husband, I ask you, what was she smoking? What was the woman smoking? But there it is. It is what it is. And but what results is a whole lot of strain. And God Himself, the angel of the Lord, says to her, behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael because the Lord has listened to your affliction. First time it's used like that. Listen to your affliction. So what category would that be in? Okay, let's think it over. If it's Hagar being mistreated by Sarah, anybody being treated ugly? Maybe you don't even know why. I wonder, I've got a high school friend, a high school senior friend back in the Houston area that has spent most of this school year being bullied by a couple of girls in her school. You know, it's just everything you can do to keep from going to the school yourself and you're just a friend. Just everything you do going, oh, you know what, I'm just going to sit in class with her today. I have a word. But they weren't really interested in a word, but I mean, it just was like more than I could stand. If Sarah and Hagar had lived in our present culture, it may be that Sarah would have even cyber-bullied Hagar. She might have even started up a phony Facebook account to make fun of Hagar. It could happen all sorts of ways. She might blog about Hagar, but every part of that realm, when someone is just mistreating someone else, bullying them, that is a form of affliction. Then we get to Genesis 29. Genesis has a lot of affliction. That would not surprise you if you know anything about it. Genesis 29:32. Okay, this is when Leah is not loved by Jacob. I'm sorry to have to say this, but he loved his other wife better. One too many wives. One too many wives. Again, that's a setup for disaster. But what happens in this point is that the Bible refers to her particular plight, Leah, as the unloved one. The Bible refers to her plight as, what would be the word? an affliction. If you're just tuning in with us, we are in a series about affliction, and I'm just thinking if you'd hang around long enough, you're going to figure out that you have had one, and you might have one presently. We need to learn what to do with it. So if you feel like you have been unloved by the person you want to love you, anybody ever been that? I have. Or if you've been rejected, maybe they never did. Or you've been betrayed. That's all this Leah and Jacob form of affliction right here in Genesis 29, 32. Another one would be just a couple of pages over. It's almost like just desserts. This is very interesting to me as I looked up this word study. Genesis 31, 42, Jacob now is getting his own affliction because now he's being afflicted by Laban. And so he's being mistreated and he's being tricked and being treated with dishonesty and without fairness. And I wonder if there's anybody that feels like that happens to them at work. Because in many respects, it would translate into our culture as that he worked for this man, Laban, and he mistreated him over and over and made him start over and over and over again. So he's mistreated at work, and his daughter's all manipulated up in the deal as well. So it's just a mess. So I just wonder, anybody being treated dishonestly, unfairly, feel like an employer is scheming or never does give them the promotion that he promised or she promised. That would qualify, just in case you wonder, if you're just, a wimp, actually, biblically, that would qualify as what would be our word? As an affliction. Genesis then gives way to Exodus, and it starts from the very beginning with an affliction. We would get no further than Exodus 3. If you're taking any of this down, it would be Exodus 3, verse 7 and verse 17. And the Lord says in verse 7, I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down, the next verse says, to deliver them. So any form of bondage, any yoke of slavery would be a qualification, a big one, and one we will camp on for some time in our series. That would qualify as an affliction. Anything enslaving or oppressing can cause affliction. Don't lose sight of that one. This next one, I thought about this. I am a student. As much as anything. I love the classroom. I love to be on this side of the classroom, and I'm blessed to be on this side of the classroom. But I try to think what would hit me if I were you and what would be tender to me if I were you. And I thought about this one because somebody is going to resonate with this, and it's going to prick a place in her heart. The next place we would see it, the next major place, would be 1 Samuel 1:11. Jot down that address, and I'm going to tell you the context. 1 Samuel 1:11, and it was Hannah in her childlessness. And as she struggled through desperately wanting to have a child and being unable to conceive, her plight in that scripture is called an affliction. She asks God in prayer, O Lord of hosts, indeed look upon the affliction of your servant, an affliction. And so I just wonder, has anybody ever known that kind? I wonder right here, has anybody ever struggled through women all over this room? And I can't imagine how many on the other side of that screen. And I want to say to you again, if you think, well, I really just, I need to pull myself together. And you know what? There's something to be said for that. And there's strength and grace of God for that. But maybe for this moment, it's not bad to stop and take stock of the fact that actually it qualifies. It feels like an affliction. It's painful. And it doesn't just necessarily like come in a moment and go. An affliction is something like you feel afflicted by. 1 Samuel 1:11. That would bring us then to Job 10:15. Job 10:15, there's a reason why I especially want to throw this one in here, because the word affliction is used here by Job himself to categorize his intense suffering, and it includes at this point intense physical suffering. And the reason why I wanted to make sure we threw that one in is because some of you are truly, I mean, you're going through sickness and going through chronic pain. You may remember, if you have been part of Wednesdays for long, we talked about a season that I went through that lasted, I think, every bit of 18 months from beginning to end, where God just entrusted me with an area of physical pain. I don't think I'm out of turn to say that James has gone through some of that too, where you just, for a while, you get to know what it feels like when other people are dealing with a physical pain continually that won't seem to let up. I can remember, like it happened yesterday, the day that I said, I am in pain all the time. It was like I felt like I'd been aware of it. And then one moment it just hit me. No, this is not going away. This, and it was in my back. And it was just like, I can't get rid of it. And it's very demoralizing. And when you know that you are glancing at your watch to see when it's going to be bedtime because of your physical pain, you got an affliction, girlfriend. You got an affliction, guy friend. So that qualifies. That qualifies. And Job is one of the places that we can hold on to that biblically. Psalm 9:13. Psalm 9:13. I really want you to write this down. Psalm 9:13. The psalmist here was afflicted specifically because people hated him. He was hated by some people. And he called his plight affliction. He says to the Lord, "Be gracious to me, O Lord. See my affliction from those who hate me." I mean, has anybody just ever had someone just hate them? Just hate them. And if you're like me, it's like confusing. Just confusing, because I'm a sanguine. I just want to go, "Oh, I love you." I mean, I want to tell somebody in line, if they're behind me and we get to talking over our groceries and we're checking out. I am so Southern. When I walk away, I'm practically going, "Bless you, I love you." You know what I'm saying? That's its own affliction. But it certainly is her affliction. I do want you to know I don't do it, but it would almost be in me. So when someone, every once in a while someone will say, I mean, have you gotten used to the criticism? No. Have you, Betty? No. No. It hurts. And one reason it does is because we're making a choice to keep our hearts in it. There are people that get over it. But what they've had to do that are out there and get criticized all that, they have to get hard in their heart so that it will quit hurting so much. So in that defense, so for those of us who are trying to stay soft-hearted out there, it hurts. It hurts. And it's just like, why? I mean, why? What in the world? I don't understand this kind of hatred. I understand respectful criticism. We get a lot of that, and I get it. I get it. Listen, you know, I know you're really trying out there, they'll say, but I'm having a struggle with this. I can receive that. Even if I don't agree with it, I'll receive it. But meanness, unkindness, no, I that hurts. It's just like, they hate me. They hate me. And so the psalmist calls that an affliction. This one is going to be very, very important to us in the second half of our series on affliction. Our first half, these weeks, are about consider my affliction. Not only are we asking God to consider it, we're considering it. What qualifies as one? How would we define it? How would we know if we're having one? And that's what this one's all about. The next part of the series, in part, will really build right here. But I do want you to hear this one from now. Jot down, if you're taking notes, Isaiah 48:10. And this is God talking through the prophet Isaiah to the people of Israel when he says this, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of," guess what that word is going to be? Affliction. "I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. Okay, so, and we're going to learn something wonderful about this in the next half of our series. So we're even going to feel better about this because even then we're going to learn that God is for us and not against us. But understand with me, for our purposes, if we don't camp on this one, then we're going to miss an important one. All of them are. We don't want to miss any of them. But an affliction can be something that can characterize us going through a disciplinary process with God. Now, whom God loves, He chastens. So when God says to me, without audible words, but just heart to heart, well, we need to work through this right here, it's out of His love. You don't correct. I don't correct other people's children. I want to sometimes. But I don't, but I do correct my own. And you know, when it would frustrate them, like, you know, everybody else, you know what? They're not my children. They're not my children. Lucky you. I'm not putting up with it. Anybody? Because you're mine. You're mine. That's God with us. Whom He loves, He chastens. And so a time of disciplinary measures with God, which is always out of love and always for us. I can't wait for us to see that part together. That qualifies as a time, it can be a time of affliction. So, I mean, what all have we got so far? We've got some good stuff. We've got, okay, you could be like bullied. You could be rejected, unloved. Jealousy could be involved. You could have a unfair, scheming employer or supervisor. You could be feel enslaved or oppressed. You could be going through infertility. You could be afflicted by all manner of physical ailment. You could be afflicted because people hate you. You could be afflicted because you're going through a disciplinary time with God. Now, those are just the ones we're mentioning for now in Scripture, but you can see how broad it is. With all of that said, how many of you, I'm going to see right here, but I hope you're going to be talking to us too. How many of you have ever been through an affliction? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. How many, would you be willing to say today, if nothing was like, there wasn't going to be any kind of reprisal, I'm not going to walk over to you with a microphone. I want you to know in advance, I'm going to hold my hand up too, because that's part of the reason why we're studying it together. Very rarely am I ever going to bring you anything that's just like a waste of time on me. I'm a needy woman for the Word of God. I'm a needy woman for the Word of God. So I need this Word. I need this Word. So if it's not doing anything for you, girl, I'm here for my Word. I'm here for my Word. So how many of you would say, no, I'm presently dealing, there's no shame in it whatsoever. It's common to man. I'm presently dealing with an area of affliction. Anybody? Okay, that puts us in a really, really prime place to receive a Word. Let me tell you, if you need Him, He will never, ever just put you away. Never. When you need a Word, you're going to get one. You're going to get one. Just never send you away in shame. It's just not going to happen.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
And He never will. I think the enemy continually lays the blame and the shame on us, and we can find all the reasons to agree with the enemy, the accuser, and say, yep, you're right. But the Lord wants to take that, and He really wants to lift the load. And if you can learn what it is to get in the yoke with Him and let Him carry it, let Him lift it, it becomes light. I pray you learn that. You're going to see something right now that I can promise you God will use to lighten your load. And you talk about some affliction. When people are watching their children die, when they're watching the greatest source of joy they have, because in the third world countries, they don't have all the entertainment. So family and children, that's the highest source of joy they've got. And of course, if we're honest about it, it's our highest. But they have nothing else. And when they lose the one and only, and that precious life, and they do continually, and they lose those lives to something that can be instantly cured, you can do it. You can literally offer the answer, the total complete solution to the challenges they face. I want you to watch, I want you to prayerfully focus, and then I want you to ask God, how can I be a clear expression of Your love and Your heart and literally extend Your hands and meet a need? Watch this. Well, you know, I will never reach a point in my life. I would think life had ended when I would look and see a need like I see with those children. The images just flash back from what I saw, the little children getting the only water they had access to, and it's contaminated, it's death. Seeing that mother that was in the images there from overseas, with a little baby strapped on her back, knowing her whole world is wrapped up in that little bundle, and knowing that it's very likely she'd already lost a child, several years old, to contaminated water. I looked out here in the audience, and we've got a lot of young people here, and every one of the young people in this audience, I watched their eyes and I watched their faces while they were watching. And in every one of these children, I could see concern. Thinking about that's what they've got. It's like drinking poison. That's all they've got. That's why so many people bring their grandchild or their children when they're little to me and to Betty, and they want us to meet them. Because they say, my grandchild or my daughter or my son watched y'all on television, saw the children with the need for water, and this 6-year-old or this 8-year-old, they've drilled a water well. They drilled a water well, a whole $4,800. They raised it, and then they begin to tell me how they did it, all the different ways that they do it. It's amazing to me. I don't think there was a kid sitting here or a person in this studio that wasn't saying, I want to find some way that I could do that. Well, we can. There's a way we can. I don't want to, when you think about $4,800, that's a tremendous sum of money. But a child does it. We've had children that would work the whole year and drill 2 water wells. It's amazing to me. It's because the desire to do it is in their heart because of love, the love of God. And then we become the expression of that heart so we can do it. We can meet the need. But I want you to understand something. When you give a cup of water, Jesus said you won't lose your reward. Let him determine what that reward is. Don't start guessing at it. I'm not going to make you some silly promise. You give some money and all your bills are going to be paid. You may need to learn a lot about money management. So let's learn that, okay? Let's don't play a spiritual lottery game with God. Don't get me into that stuff. We're talking about doing something that blesses God and blesses others. He said, you give a cup of water, I'm going to bless you. Well, let me just tell you something. If you can't give $4,800 or work this year to do it, and I'm asking you to pray about it. God, this year, let me give a well. Go ahead and make it a prayer. But right now, we've got a goal to drill 500 wells. That's the most we've ever drilled in a single emphasis. 500 of them in 12 countries. $48. Now, stop right there a minute. 10 people water for the rest of their life. That's how it breaks out. $144.30. There's a level at which you can do something now. You can start with the cup of water for 10 people for the rest of their life. Would you do it? Dial the telephone number there. Use your bank card like a check. That's how you should always use it. If you write a check, make it to Life, call us and tell us you're putting it in the mail. If you want to go online, lifetoday.org, and make the gift God put on your heart, all right? If there's any way you can give a well, and Betty, we got people that give 1,200 and 3 people join them, 2,400, another person joins. At whatever level you can come in, come on in now. And then just start praying, God, before the year's out, I want to drill a well. Ask God to help you. Betty and I did that. He answered our prayer. We've been able to do it. And as far as we're concerned, it's a supernatural thing that God's allowed us to enjoy. We ask Him to let us do it. You ask. Would you dial the number? Use that bank card like a check? Please do it. We want to send you Beth Moore's book. It will bless you so much. Blessed Mornings and Restful Nights. What a way to start the day and end the day. The hymns, their origin, how they were written, the instrumental music will bless you. The 50th anniversary, Robert Summers Bronze. This beautiful bronze, giving the living water. That's what you're doing. We're sending that to those of you who'll help us drill a well with a gift of $1,200 or more. Thank you so much for going to the phone or going online. Thank you for sharing a cup of water or a well in Jesus' name.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Beth Moore's Blessed Mornings and Restful Nights, a beautiful new daily devotional to begin and end your day in God's presence. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request Morning and Evening, I Will Praise You, a 2-CD collection of 20 instrumental hymns and a companion book that shares the stories behind each hymn. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Living Water, by artist Robert Summers. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
Thank you from the bottom of our heart for what God's led you to do. And I am anxious to send you the great way to begin your day, blessed mornings, restful nights. And then I promise you, when you hear the instrumental music of the hymns you love, and then read the story of how they came to be, you are going to be inspired. Thank you for sharing life. Thank you for watching Wednesdays with Beth. Tell your friends to watch Life Today, hopefully, every day, and tell them about Beth Moore. God bless all of you. Thank you for being here.
One thing after another. It's like the enemy wants to put dots out there, hoping you'll connect dots, draw a wrong conclusion so you're strangled by your fear.
Author Susie Larson, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.